All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And I want to read a couple of verses starting in verse 31. Matthew 12:31. The Lord Jesus says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whoso speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." All right, let's pray. Father, we pray now your blessings upon us as we deal with this very sensitive subject. I'm sure that everybody listening knows someone either in their family or in their neighborhood or where they work. They know someone who has taken their own life. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to just get a little insight tonight, and to learn what the Bible has to say on this serious issue. So, Father, guide and direct our thoughts tonight. We thank you for the Word of God and for the answers that the Word of God provides. So, bless us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the question is that was given to me was this: if you take your own life, in other words, if you commit suicide, can you still go to heaven? If you take your own life, can you still go to heaven? It depends on who you ask that question as to what the answer is going to be. This passage of scripture that I just read for you, verse 31 and 32, is what is commonly called the unpardonable sin. How many of you have heard that phrase, the unpardonable sin? All right. Now, I want you just to stop for a minute and think about those two words, the unpardonable sin. What would be the unpardonable sin? What'd you say? Not accepting Christ as your Savior. Who convicts you, Harold? Who convicts you? The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that draws you to the Father. All right, now, it's key that you understand these basic Bible principles. It is the Holy Spirit of God that convicts and draws the sinner to the Father. The Holy Spirit, you remember the Lord Jesus said, "If I go, I will send another comforter, and he will convince you." He will convince you. He will convict the world of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. So it is the Holy Spirit of God who speaks to your heart and draws you to God to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? It is what Jesus did for us on the cross that we can be saved. And it is because of God's love for us that Jesus did what he did. God sent his Son. And it is the Holy Spirit who was sent after Christ went back to heaven and the Holy Spirit came. It is the Holy Spirit then that convicts us and draws us to the Father to be saved. So if the Holy Spirit speaks to you about getting saved and you say no, that is blasphemy. Who are you? And that's for anybody. Who are you to tell the God of creation, the God that made you, who are you to tell that God no? That's blasphemy. You are blaspheming the Holy Spirit specifically, who is the one who calls you to be saved. Now nod your heads. Do you understand that? That is just basic Bible theology. All right? You say, well, I always believed that the unpardonable sin was suicide. Yeah, the reason you think that is because that's what the world's church tells you. That's what Catholicism says. That verse 31 and 32 is talking about suicide. No, it's not. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. All manner. Now, there's a few things that must be taken into consideration when dealing with this question. First, let's think of the nature of God's salvation that he has provided for us. Think about that salvation. Now, in order to get where I want you to be, let's go over to the Gospel of John for just a minute. Go to John 3. Let's turn, hold your place here in Matthew 12, but go over to John 3, and I'm going to read you some very familiar verses, so simple that I think sometimes we just, because of their simplicity, just blow right over the top of them. And we don't stop to think about what they're saying. So look first at John 3. And you remember this is when Jesus was dealing with Nicodemus. And in verse 14, Jesus said to him, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Watch this now. "That whosoever..." Now, what's that mean? Anybody. Anybody and everybody. Who will? All right? "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, what's eternal mean? Has no end, right? It has no end. All right, now when do you get that? When you believe, right? Is that what the verse says? Would you agree to that? Am I putting words in your mouth here? Or you agree with me on that? You will get, watch now, you will get this eternal life the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Okay, look at the next verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, who is that? That's Jesus, all right? So God the Father gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Why? That whosoever, and that means anybody, whoever will, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, so is everlasting life the same thing as eternal life? Yeah. Okay, now when do you get that? You get that the moment you believe. Everybody, we in agreement? All right, not, I'm not trying to trick you. I'm just trying to get you to take the Bible at face value. Look at verse 18. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Look at 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath. Now, I know you probably did not study Old English in school, but it's not that complicated. Hath is present tense. It is possessive. You have it. All right? He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Is on him. It abides on him. Possessive again. Okay? So he that believeth has everlasting life. All right? Look at chapter 10 of John. Go over to chapter 10 of John. And there are a lot of verses in between that I could read. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all the verses that I have written down here. John 10:27. John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall, what's the next word? Never perish. Now, I wonder what never means. Huh? Never. Pastor, anybody knows what never means. You would think, wouldn't you? I mean, you would think. I give unto them. I give. Present tense. You've got it right now if you've believed. Do you not see the running theme here? The running theme is, if you believe, you have. Okay? If you believe, you have salvation. You have eternal life. You have everlasting life. When did you get it? When you believed. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the moment you believed in him, you were given, you received eternal life. Nod your heads. You with me? Not complicated, right? You would think. Read on. And they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Wow. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? But it gets better. Look at verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. All right, watch. When you got saved, God took you, your eternal soul, and put your eternal soul in the hand of the Savior, the creator of the universe. And then God the Father put his hand over top of Jesus' hand where you are. And Jesus said that God the Father is greater than anything or anybody, and nothing can get you out of God the Father's hand. Now, look please at verse 29, and you will see that it says, and no, and the next word is italicized, right? And that means the King James translators italicized that word to make a complete sentence, to give the sentence grammatical structure. And what they tell us, if you will take the time to read all this in the front of the Cambridge Bible, I've read it. It's a tough read. All right, but I've read it. And if you will take the time to read what's in the front of the Cambridge Bible that was put there by the King James translators, you will find out that when they italicized a word, they did so to give structure, grammatical structure, to the sentence. And that not all the time is that word reflected in the language, in the Greek or the Hebrew. And so they would italicize it so that when you read it, it would make sense. All right? But now look at verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You look here. No sin? Come on. Right? Now, wait a minute. Did you not get back here eternal life? All right. Now, when you got it, nothing can take you out of the Lord's hand, and nothing can take you out of God's hand, who is over the Lord's hand. Nothing can take you out of there. That means no sin. Right? That means no preacher. That means no church. That means no action. That means no word. That means no deed. Nothing can take you out of Jesus' hand. Now, what do we call that? All right, hold on now. Some of you folks that came out of the Nazarene Church and the Church of God and the Methodist Church, hold on. All right, grab a hold of something so you don't fall over here real quick. All right, here's what we call this. Now, hold on. You ready? Eternal security. I tell you what, I'm glad it's in the book. I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what, I just read it for you. You say, well, I don't know if I believe in that eternal security. What, you don't believe John 10, 27, 28, and 29? You don't believe that? I came out of my dad's family. My dad's family was divided. There was heathen moonshiners over here, and there was a Church of Nazarene over here. I got saved every Sunday. Every Sunday I got saved when I was a little boy. I hated invitation time. Hated it. Because here they come looking for me. And I'm back here trying to hide. Yeah, just a little guy. I'm back here trying to hide behind my aunt. And they come looking for me and come across the aisle, pray them while they come, grab me and carry me up to the altar and pray for me to get saved. And I learned if I just get saved, I can go back and sit down again. Doesn't take you long to figure that out. So I got saved every Sunday. And as time went on, I got saved quicker every Sunday. It was a miracle. All right, so what do we learn here? What are we learning? We are learning that we get that when we get saved, we get an eternal salvation. When we get saved, we receive eternal life. Now, how long does anything eternal last? Forever, eternally. Okay, now, follow me now. If when I call upon the name of the Lord and I get saved from my sin, if it lasts forever, am I still going to sin even after I get saved? Of course I am. Now, if you don't believe that, you are so naive or you are so blind that I wouldn't admit that you don't understand that. I mean, seriously, I would go and visit with my dad's side of the family, and inevitably we would get into a discussion, and I would ask them, I would say, "Where's your halo?" Oh, they would get so mad when I'd ask them that. "Where is your halo?" And the first time I asked him, "Where's your halo?" I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you tell me you don't sin. I just want to know where your halo is." You say, "What? They told you they didn't?" Yes. When they sinned, it wasn't sin. It was a mistake. Now, when you sin, that's a sin. And you got to get saved again. But when they did it, it was just a mistake. Seriously, folks. And that is where it descends to when you don't grasp this. Okay? So, yes, we get saved, but we still sin. Now, follow me now. If my salvation that I received is eternal life, that means that even though I sin after I get saved, I still have, even though I still sin, eternal life. That sin does not change the fact that I have eternal life. So no sin, no devil, no demon, no preacher, no slip up, no mistake, no church, no church member, nothing can cause us to lose the salvation that we were given on the day we trusted Jesus as our Savior. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, "But Pastor, if you are truly saved, you just won't do certain things." Is that right? "Well, Pastor, if you're truly saved, you would not get drunk." Well, I tell you what, you ought to tell Noah that. Huh? You ought to tell Noah that. But Pastor, if you are truly saved, you would not commit adultery. Well, listen, when you get to heaven, you go look David up. You know King David, remember him? You know, about half the Bible deals with him. You go look up King David and you just point your old bony finger right in his face and just let him have it. I'm sure you can straighten him out, you know, being such a good Christian like you are. Hello? You say, well, Pastor, if you were truly a born-again Christian, you wouldn't curse and swear against God. Well, I tell you what you do. When you get up to heaven, go to the pearly gates, and you can just tell the Apostle Peter all about it. All right? Just tell Peter what a sad story he is that he cussed outside of Pilate's hall that night when Jesus was standing in there and being interrogated by Pilate. You just tell Peter what a sorry dog he was for cussing. You might want to duck after you say that, because he hadn't got his glorified body yet. Are you following me, folks? Now, you know, I'm not advocating sin at all. Please don't think I am. I'm not advocating sin at all. But I'm telling you, we still sin after we get saved. You say, but how could a saved person take their own life? Folks, listen, sometimes there are circumstances, there are situations you don't know anything about. And you should not sit around and judge a situation where you don't know anything about what's going on. I think that God puts within us the will to live. I know I've got it. I know I've got it. When I was so sick, there were a couple times there where I thought, oh boy. Now this was with the Crohn's disease when I was in 2010. And there were a couple times there I thought, wow, this is what it feels like to die. And I just made up my mind, I'm not going to die. I'm not ready to die. I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven, but I want to go when the big crowd's going. I don't want to just go on my own. You know what I'm saying? I want to go up with everybody else. You say, but Pastor, how could a saved person take their own life? Ever hear mental illness? Ever hear psychological problems that nobody else knows anything about, except for the person dealing with it? Ever hear that? Well, that happens. I think within us is the will to live. And if you take your own life, something's going on. And what right do I have to sit around and judge you and say, oh, well, you're not going to heaven because you sinned, you killed yourself. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Yeah, but the Bible also says, love your brethren. And boy, let's get real on that one. Huh? Let's get real on that one. Boy, don't even get me started on that one. You never will get home. I mean, folks, listen. I got saved in October of 1970. October of 1970. It is now January of 2018. So 48 years ago, I trusted Christ as my Savior. On the day that I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart, I received from God eternal life, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That's what I got. Did you ask Jesus to save you? Huh? Did you say amen if you did? Amen. Do you know what you got the day you asked him to save you? Yeah, not temporary life. It wasn't temporal life, it was eternal life, exactly. Now remember all the verses we just read from John. Now, look here, folks. 48 years ago, I got on my knees and asked Jesus to save me. Now, 48 years have gone by. And do you know how, do you have any idea? And I'm sure you do if you just think about it, but don't say a word. But do you have any idea how many sins I've committed in 48 years? Yeah. Don't look at me like that. So have you. I can tell you a lot. I've committed a lot. But every one of them's under the blood. Every one of them back 48 years ago when I said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. Every sin was put under the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross and God took all my sins and placed them upon Jesus, and Jesus paid the penalty for all my sins, which is death. He paid that penalty. The wages of sin is death. Since October of 1970 and the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I can imagine that the devil has probably come along many a time and said, God, look at what old Norse just said. Look at what he just said. And God just gave the devil a glare and said, yes, Satan, I heard that, but even that sin is under the blood of my Son. I don't see that sin because all I see when I look at Norris is the blood of my Son. That's all I see. Now, what does Matthew 12, 31 tell us, our text? It says all. Right? Now, folks, I didn't write that. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. So you think it's right? I do. And Jesus said, all. Now let me ask you a question. Does that include cursing? Sure does, doesn't it? Aren't you glad of that? Oh, don't look at me like that. You ever been hammering and hit the wrong nail? Said something you shouldn't have said? Oh, yeah. I mean, does that include drinking? Liquor? Alcohol? Yeah. Does that include smoking? You say, can you smoke and go to heaven? Yes. You're just going to smell like you've been in hell, but but you can still go. All! Can you dip in snuff? So can you dip snuff and go to heaven? Yep, but you got to go to hell to spit. Can't spit up on the pearly gates. Well, how about adultery? You see, folks, when Jesus said all, but now wait a minute, there's a caveat to this verse. All, look at your Bible. Go back to Matthew. Go back to the text. There's a caveat to this verse. All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, except for one sin. And that one sin is the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, what does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost? Jesus said, what? Look at it now. Jesus said, all other sins can be forgiven. But there is one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that one sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? Well, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit that draws you to the Lord Jesus so you can be saved. Who is it that convicts us of sin? It's the Holy Spirit. Who is it that shows us we need to get saved? It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit draws us to the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you and draws you, and you say no, and you refuse to accept Christ, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You're saying no to the Holy Spirit of God. And when you're saying no to the Holy Spirit of God, you are saying no to God. And that is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. It just cannot. There is absolutely no way that God can ever forgive rejecting his son as your savior. He cannot forgive that. All the other sins, sure. All you got to do is believe. Just come to Jesus. But the one that cannot be forgiven is to reject Christ. God cannot find a way to forgive someone who rejects Christ as their Savior. There is no forgiveness for that. No way God can forgive someone who rejects Christ as their Savior. Now look at verse 32. Look at verse 32. We're in Matthew 12. And look at verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Now watch. Who's the Son of Man? Jesus is. All right, watch. Watch. Let's suppose that you've got this infidel. All right? This theological infidel. And he denies Christ. So he sits in his high chair and he's all high and mighty and he knows everything. And he's teaching his students and he tells all his students, look, this Jesus, he's not real. The Bible's not real. God, forget it. Just forget it all. You just do the best you can. You be a good person and you'll be all right in the end. And then he goes through his routine, goes through his life. And one day he's just out on the street and some soul winner walks up and says, sir, let me give you something to read. He takes that gospel tract and he looks at it. What must I do to be saved? And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts working in his life. He reads that tract, goes home, gets a Bible, looks up the verses. The Spirit of God is convicting his heart. He flips that tract over on the back and it says, if you would like to receive Christ as your Savior and know for sure you're going to heaven, pray this prayer and ask Jesus to save you. And he gets under conviction more and prays that prayer and says, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. And he gets saved. Now, wait a minute. He blasphemed Jesus over there, didn't he? Don't you remember over there? He was blaspheming Jesus. He was saying, that's not real. Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not how you get to heaven. Oh, no, don't believe that. But then he got saved. Jesus said, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You can be forgiven for speaking against Jesus if you'll repent. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. If that Spirit of God convicts that sinner's heart and he then throws up both hands and says, oh, no, I'm not coming to Jesus. No, I'm not believing that. God says right here in this verse, there is absolutely no way that that man can ever be forgiven for saying no to the Spirit of God. There is no way you can be saved if you reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Now look at the verse. He's not done. Oh, you talk about emphasis. Look at this. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, this one we're living in right now. Jesus said, God won't forgive you right now. You are under God's condemnation right now. Which is what John chapter 3 18 and 19 was talking about. See? Neither in this world, look at it, neither in the world to come. In eternity, no forgiveness. No second chance. Man, you better get this thing straight now. That's what Jesus is saying. You better get straight on this stuff now. God cannot forgive you of saying no to the conviction and drawing of the Holy Spirit, neither in this life, in this world, or in the world to come, in eternity. It is pretty simple and pretty clear that every person had better take care of their eternal salvation on this side of eternity in this world. Because, boy, when you get on the other side, too late. Okay, now, somehow, and doesn't surprise me because they got everything else wrong, but somehow, through the centuries, the Catholic Church has taught that verse 31 and 32 is teaching that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is suicide. And folks, it's just not. It's just not. It was given the name by Catholicism, verse 31 and 32, given the name, the unpardonable sin. Suicide, the unpardonable sin. And that's how it's become so widespread that suicide is the unpardonable sin. And the argument is, if you kill yourself, you cannot ask God to forgive you, and so there is no forgiveness for that sin. But wait a minute, go back to your verses in John and remember that whole eternal life thing. And if you understand that eternal life thing, then you'll realize that it's not talking about suicide at all. All right? Everybody got that? All right, that was the introduction. Seriously. Do you get it? All right, now, I got 8 minutes. All right. All right. Remember what was it? Wednesday or Sunday, two Sundays ago. I think it was two Sundays ago. And I mentioned to you that God does a lot of things in threes. Remember that? All right. A lot of things in threes. Okay. There's length, breadth, and depth. There's Father, Son, Spirit. There's past, present, and future. There's body, soul, and spirit. There's liquid, solid, gas. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. God does a lot of things in threes. Three is the number of completion, exactly. All right, now, in the New Testament, your and my salvation is presented to us in three parts, and they are complete, all right? When you got saved, you got the whole package of salvation. Now get this, folks. Here are the three aspects, the three parts of salvation. Number one, justification. Number two, sanctification. And number three, glorification. All right, now remember, past, present, future. All right, watch me now. Justification, that's past. Sanctification, that's present. Glorification, that's future. Watch. I have been saved, past tense. I just told you a moment ago, October of 1970, I was, past tense, saved. You say, Pastor, are you saved? Present tense. I say, oh yes. I was saved in October of 1970. All right, so that is my justification. The day I got saved. What happened on the day I got saved? I put faith in Christ. And God justified me. Now, you know what the word justified means. It is a legal term, and it is the act whereby God declares a believing sinner to be righteous. You are justified. You are, watch me, just as if you had never sinned. When God sees you, God sees the blood of His Son, and you are forgiven. Every sin, forgiven. Now, this justification covers the penalty of sin. I'm declared just. Past tense, I have been saved. I'm declared just by God, and it covers the penalty of sin. Watch. That's past tense. But my Bible also says that I am sanctified. I am being saved. I am saved. I was saved. I am being saved. That's the cleansing, the separated, the growth, the maturity, the filled with the Spirit, the growing and learning, yielded, set apart aspect of my salvation. As I'm yielded to the Spirit, that's present tense. I was saved, justified. I am saved. I am being saved, sanctified. And then, praise the Lord, one of these days, I will be glorified. Now, I'm not right now, and neither are you. But one day we will be. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, remember that? Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, glorified. All right? So that's future. Okay? Now, watch. Justified delivers me, saves me from the penalty of sin. Sanctified saves me, delivers me, salvages me from the power of sin. And then glorification, that delivers me, that saves me, that salvages me from the presence of sin. All right, does that make sense? And those are your three aspects of salvation. Now, you are, watch me, oh, this is so good, watch this. You are, right now, if you're justified, you are as saved as you can be, but you're not as saved as one day you're gonna be. Because right now, all you've got are two aspects of your salvation. The third one has not been applied yet. It will not be until our Lord steps out of heaven, blows the trumpet and says, come on home. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. You see, these old bodies under the curse of sin, under the curse of sin. When I got saved over here, God did not save my body. He saved my soul. All right? Body's still under the curse of sin. That's why I got these. And that's why I've got these and these and this. That I got a race going to see which one can get back here the quickest. And it's a tie right now. It's amazing. I'm at the place and spray mode of life. I'm in the morning. Knocking everything over. Okay, don't move, don't move. Okay, it's good. Oh, my soul. It's awful getting old. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not going to say a word. One day they'll catch up. Is that what you're saying? All right, everybody got all this now? Okay, so the point is, folks, The point is, this is the salvation that you got. Justified, sanctified, glorified. You got the whole thing when you got saved. And that whole thing amounts to this: eternal life. And nothing can take it away from you. No sin. Now, I'm not advocating sin. I'm not promoting sin. I'm not saying you go out here and do what you want. I'm not saying that. God will wear you out if you do. But I'm saying that you've been forgiven. And if a devil can convince you that your salvation, oh, listen to this now. If the devil can convince you that your salvation is based on a foot race between you and the devil to the pearly gates, then he's got you defeated. You are not living in the fullness of all that God has for you. I forget which preacher it was. Probably if I preached this message to you in this morning about 9 o'clock, I would have known this, but I'm tired. But he used to say all the time, I am so safe and secure in Jesus that I could swing over the pits of hell on a spider web, singing blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. That's how confident he was in his salvation. It is eternal life. Don't ever forget that. And no sin, even the sin of killing yourself.